Jared, what's your favorite club to hit?
Driver, full send.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of the Full Send Podcast. This is Trey Griggs, and the Full Send Podcast is all about telling the inside stories of our man Jared Wolf on the PGA Tour. We got Jared back in the house tonight, coming to us from Sea Island, Georgia. Jared, what's up, man?
Sea Island, Georgia. What's up, Trey?
Is Sea Island actually an island? First question.
That's a great question, of which I do not know the answer.
Okay, maybe by the end of the week.
Yes, yeah. But I've assumed things before and I've been wrong. So
maybe by the end of the week we'll get that nailed down.
We'll narrow that down.
I do know there's a lot of professional golfers that live in Sea Island, so it must be a tremendous place. You got Zach Johnson. I think Davis Love has a place down there. Maybe some other players. I don't know.
But Johnson sounds Bird.
Like mm-hmm.
Keith Grinder. Mitchell.
Oh yeah, Keith Mitchell. That's right.
Kevin Kisner, I think, has a place here. Yeah, it's a hot spot, and I get it. I see why. The facilities are great. That whole, you know, islandy beach vibe, and just everybody's relaxed, and it's a cool place.
Yeah, it's pretty chill. It's kind of like Jacksonville, but a little probably less crowded, I would imagine, a little further north.
Yeah, a little.
It got that same vibe.
More. Yeah, very much so.
Right. But what are the golf courses down there? If somebody wanted to go to Sea Island, Georgia and play some golf, what are the golf courses they got to hit?
Oh, Seaside and Plantation at the Sea Island Resort. Obviously, good calls. If you can somehow get on Frederica, I've heard that's amazing. Oh, there's a couple more. I can't remember the names of, but there's a lot of good golf courses. It's almost like going to Hilton Head, where you know you've got Harbortown and probably a dozen other really good golf courses there. Same kind of deal here.
Very cool. Yeah, that's one of those places that's on my bucket list. Haven't made it yet, but looking forward to getting down there soon. And so the tournament this week, the RSM Classics played on the island course. Is that right?
It's on the Plantation and Seaside course. On two
courses. Seaside course. Oh, I got them both wrong. I didn't even have the right name. So on the Seaside course and the Plantation. Okay. Very, very cool. Excellent. Well, before we get into this week and what's going on, let's talk about last week. Houston Open. Crazy week for you. Probably not a normal week and probably one you hope you don't have again. So let's talk a little bit about that crazy week. So first of all, you get to Houston on Sunday, you play practice round. Tell us a little bit about where this course was located in Houston. What was going on around there?
Yeah, this was in the Houston course was kind of in the middle of a big park. It was a memorial park. I didn't realize how big this was until we got there, but it's huge. A massive piece of property, a lot of trails. And usually within these, I've only played four, but usually these events, they do a really good job of, or they pride themselves on security and we obviously had great security, but they make sure no public's around when where the entrance is and all that. Whether or not I agree with that, I don't really care, but it's just funny to like see people running through the trails, just running right next to where the players are at and all that. You probably had all these people who had no idea what golf was and like what's going on, just running around there, and you've got all these world-class golfers, within a couple feet of them, and they had no idea. But it was a great piece of property. They have a double-decker driving range, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get to use that. Yeah, we did not get to use the double-decker. I think we may have if we asked, but they were doing some hospitality up there. But a great piece of land. They just redid it. I believe they spent a ton of money on the golf course to renovate it in the last couple of years, and it was pretty nice.
Yeah, it was a big piece of property. The holes were not really next to each other, which is kind of nice because you got some separation. There was plenty of room for spectators to walk. That was cool. And the course itself was pretty cool. A lot of challenging holes, some pretty fun holes, and just a good layout overall. So I thought that was pretty cool. So let's talk about your week. So you get there on Sunday, you have the practice round, you go to the Monday qualifier, didn't quite make it in the Monday qualifier, played a good round. But just missed on the last hole, actually, to get into a playoff for that fourth spot. So that's two Monday qualifiers, and you were right there for both of them. So that had to make you feel pretty good about your game and where you're at.
It did, for sure. The golf course for the Monday qualifier was pretty good. They had pretty good greens, and pins were tucked in corners, which doesn't usually happen. at these Mondays. And yeah, and we had, you know, I think 600 in the playoffs, which doesn't happen very often. I think the same thing at Sea Island this week,
right.
At Brunswick Country Club was, I think 600 got in, or maybe six or seven.
No, but it was 600. Yeah. Yeah. Same
six,
thing.
Yeah. Six. Yep. And it's a great old Donald Ross course. But anyway, back to Houston. It was fun. It was fun to get done. And, you know, I was obviously upset with myself that I didn't finish it off on the last hole, but, you know, really happy to be in a position to be able to do something on the last hole. You know, you're playing, I think that week, I think we had maybe 90 to 100 guys, and, you know, you're fighting for the top four. So anytime you can get in that position where you can even come close is always a good thing for a one day. But yeah, left there, you know, not encouraged at all because none of the qualifiers were ahead of me on the priority list for the tournament. So I was still fourth alternate on Monday, and you know, kind of went and played the practice round and on Tuesday, and nothing really changed there either, but had a good time on the golf course, kind of going out and learning it. Had Tilson not make the trip that week. So I had a guy who's a starter for the golf course on the everyday, you know, side of it. He was a volunteer that week. He just jumped on the bag for one day and had a little stroll around the golf course. So that was fun for him, and pretty relaxing for all of us.
And just dropped the bag off at the end. Didn't quite finish it off, but still pretty helpful to have somebody carrying the bag for you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Randy was a workhorse. If Randy's listening to this, don't know if he will, but you know, he was a workhorse. He was great. He did great. It's just funny though. Yeah. You got 18 green. He's like, all right, well, thanks, man. See you later.
Big gulps, huh? Well, see you later.
Exactly. Yeah,
no, that's great. So let's talk about this week. So the reason you're on the Monday qualifier, because you weren't into the tournament because of prioritization. So you were fourth alternate, and fourth alternate usually doesn't get in. I mean, that's pretty far off. Four guys the week of the tournament not showing up. It's pretty rare. But on Wednesday you bumped up to second alternate. And so there was a little hope there. There's always some rumblings, maybe that some guys weren't maybe feeling good or what might not happen. In fact, we just found out today that Jason Kokrak almost withdrew on Tuesday because he wasn't playing well, didn't feel like he was playing well. And then ends up winning the thing.
Right.
We had a couple of guys that were maybe not going to play. So this is a long week. You're like practicing, you're prepping, you have no idea if you're going to get in, but then Thursday morning rolls around and you get a call at 6 a.m. Talk about that. And then what that day was like the whole day Thursday.
Thursday was a pretty incredible day. Like you said, throughout the week, you know, we saw that fluctuation, you know, two people in the same day, you know, backing out. So moved us into second alternate, which made me a little more optimistic, but, you know, basically raised the chances from about 5% to maybe, you know, 10 or 20%
right.
chance of getting in. So Thursday, I just basically planned on it being a practice day. I was going to, you know, make sure I was loose and make sure I was ready to go, but I had to be there for the first tee time, which, you know, I came rolling in at basically, I think 6:45, I think was the first tee time. So I came rolling in at 6, had breakfast and just kind of, you know, strolled around, and there was a big weather delay that hit. And that was kind of encouraging for me. Some guys, you know, if they're on the fence on if they're going to stick around and or whatnot, would go ahead and bail out. But like you said, sorry, I forgot, I skipped over this. But yeah, when I woke up and I was kind of I was about to go to the golf course, I got a phone call that said, "Hey, we had, you know, a guy's back certain, so he's backed out now, and you know, your first alternate. Just let you know. Let me know when you're on site." So that was promising. I was like, you know, I figured if I could start the day Thursday with being first alternate, that'd be great. You know, second alternate, probably not. And you know, so here we were, and that kind of didn't really change my mind too much on how the day was going to go, but I still decided it was most likely going to be just a practice day. And so I'm up there warming up and heard one of the players, you know, wasn't feeling great and might back out. You know, so I had my eye on them on the range and I kept watching and kept watching and, you know, looking at my watch or looking at my phone, seeing when their tee time was. And I was like, you know, it gets closer, closer. And if, you know, I saw him go to the first tee and I was like, all right, well, I think that was probably my only chance today. And morning wave goes off.
What time was that? When did that happen?
That was, I think at so we had a 2.5 hour delay with the weather. So it was a 9:15. It was like a 9:20 or 9:30 or 10:15 maybe. A tea time. He was middle of the pack, middle of the wave in the morning. So there wasn't too many after him. I didn't think any of the rookies would back out, you know, unless they were hurt. So I wasn't counting on anybody in the second half of that wave, you know, backing out on me. But so anyway, yeah, so I practiced, you know, for another 30 minutes, 45 minutes and go eat some lunch and go back to my Airbnb and pack up the car and everything. I got a flight booked at 8 o'clock and that night and get back to the golf course. You know, no rumblings, no word of anybody or anything. I'm watching the range, seeing if there's anybody that looks like they're stretching or, you know, looks like they're not feeling good. See or if something. Anybody
trips on their way into the range, you know, or anything.
And heck, I even saw Charlie Hoffman who is the one I took his spot. He's the one that backed out. But, you know, I was on the range. I think the first tee time was around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was on the range at like 12:30, just hitting some balls, hitting wedges. And I was going into a full practice routine now at this point. I was going to spend a couple hours hitting balls and then go do some short game. And I saw Charlie walking around a little bit on the range and his tee time wasn't until 3. I didn't think anything of it, you know, no big deal. And, you know, the only reason I remember it now is because he's the one I took the spot of. But so I'm on the range at 2:15. I get a text from one of the guys at the tour. He's like, "Hey, you're in, you know, where are you?" And I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know if that meant like I'm up right now, like,
10 minutes, get to the tee
stuff. Yeah. He's like, "Hey, yeah, you're taking over for Charlie Hoffman. It's at 3 o'clock. It's 2:15 at the time that I got it." So it was pretty wild. I had to kind of wrangle up. I had a buddy that was, that works with the yardage book company that the tour uses, a buddy of mine that was agreed to jump on the bag for a day or two. And, so I had to kind of wrangle him up a little, try to figure out where he was, get out of practice mode, try to figure out, and that may be hard to understand, but for some of the people listening, but you know, when you're in your practice mode, your brain's not thinking about, most of the time, it's not thinking about the outcome of the shot. So, you know, you're looking at the swing, your feels and all these different things. You're not going through a typical routine to get ready to go play. You're in a practice mindset. It's completely different. And so, so I went from that to kind of like a high adrenaline state and, you know, not really just trying to figure out what the heck I'm doing. I've never been in this situation before. Like, do I need to go talk to somebody and let them know I'm, what do I do? but long story short, go to the first tee and play with Kevin Tway and, Seamus Power and tee it up and get rolling.
Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit because it's fascinating to go from a different mindset from, thinking that you're just going to go home, you're going to work on some things, like you said, working on where's the club in this position and different aspects of the practice to now having to completely get out of that and think about just hitting shots and executing. And you got off to a good start. You piped your drive down the middle on one. And then you kind of stumbled a little bit. Talk a little bit about those first, 4, 5, 6, 9 holes on Thursday after, you almost went through a whole day of having to be kind of ready to go or be on kind of, in the back of your mind, you're out there all day, you're practicing, you're hitting shots all day. It sounds like just periodically hitting shots and then going into a full practice mode. And now you got to play. The adrenaline was high. Your energy might've been a little low at some point. Just what was that like making that shift mm-hmm. in those first 9 holes?
Yeah, I think it's important to kind of unpack a little bit of what the practice mindset is so different than the playing mindset in the way that practice, you're analyzing everything. You're analyzing the feels, the club position, the contact, the ball flight.
Which I've heard is not good when you're playing.
that is, you can play golf that way, but it isn't going to be good. you can. So, Yeah. So that's what you're doing. And, you know, and everybody does it. And the trap sometimes is to, and a lot, reason a lot of people don't like to go hit balls before they go to the golf course, you know, as far as amateurs, is they, you know, they say, well, I don't need to go to the range because, I'll just use all my good shots and I'll do, you know, basically what that means is they start thinking. They get over there, they hit a few good shots, and then they start thinking, and then they go to the course and now they have no idea what to do. So, you know, when we get into a playing mindset, we may have an alignment stick down just for aiming. We may check our ball positions real quick and, you know, a couple fundamentals. And then after that, we're just hitting shots. You know, I'm hitting cuts, hitting draws, hitting it high, hitting it low, getting loose. That's all we're doing. And so to go, so just to be able to differentiate between the two. So the hard part, the thing that I learned this past week that I've got to take forward is the ability to be able to shut that off in that situation and go from practice to playing mode for a tournament on the back end of, like you said, waking up at 4:30 or whatever I had to wake up that day. You know, the emotional part of, well, am I getting in or not? Like, trying not to think about it, you know, okay, what's my game plan? Do I practice a little bit? Do I not practice a little bit? I've never been in that situation before. And so a lot of things to kind of learn from on that. But like you said, got to the first hole. I couldn't get my adrenaline down. I was too excited. I was very excited. And when that adrenaline gets going like that and you get this high level of, you know, whatever chemical it is in your body that's doing it, your focus tends to get real wide because you're alert. You're bringing in all this information. So I was everywhere. I was all over the place. And, it took me honestly the next day, Friday, for me to get focused in. And, you know, so I struggled that first nine holes we played. Like you said, I hit it well off the first tee and hit a decent, you know, pretty good second shot and made a par, but, you know, after that, it was good shot followed by mediocre, followed by a bad chip or a bad putt, or, you know, maybe a bad tee shot, putting me in a bad spot to recover from, you know, something, stuff like that and on that first nine. But, you know, being able to go home that night, thank goodness we had that long delay in the morning, or else I would have played 18 holes in that mindset and who knows what I would have shot. But yeah, so that was the eventful Thursday afternoon and evening, you know, something new for me, something I haven't experienced, and, definitely no excuses. It's all learning and it's all part of the journey. And, you know, being 12 years into this or 11 years into this, I'm still experiencing new things, and that's a new one for me.
Looking back, would you have maybe done it differently and try to keep yourself in tournament mode the whole day until the very last tee time went off? Or like what would you have maybe done differently, or would you have done anything differently?
I think that's spot on right there. You know, something I struggle with is assuming the ending of something before it actually happens. And I've done that with assuming a cut line, assuming what the winner will be, assuming all these things while I'm playing or what I'm doing. And it just doesn't always work out the way you think, good and bad. So in that situation, yeah, I think those 2 hours of tee times, you know, in each wave, the morning and the afternoon, that 2 hour right there, I need to basically, because my warm-up routine is about an hour and 15 minutes. I need to more than likely just start with my routine of, you know, be on the putting green, you know, practice and do all that, go through my actual warm-up, and then maybe just go to the putting green and just do something low level for the next 30 or 40 minutes, either chip or putt, probably not go hit balls. You know, so that way I'm still engaged, but I'm not physically exerting myself and getting my heart rate up by swinging 7 irons and 5 irons and drivers, you know, for an hour and a half before I go tee off, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. I was just thinking about that because, you know, you'll be able to practice on Friday if you don't get in, of course. But looking back, it's always easy to see what might have been better. But it's just good to learn. And there's a chance you might be in that situation again. There's a chance you may never be in that situation again, hopefully.
Right.
But I think it's good to learn about that. So that's pretty cool. So another difference this week, as you already alluded to, is that you didn't have Tillis on the bag. And this is probably the first tournament in years that he hasn't been on the bag. What was that like as well? So not only do you have the kind of your adrenals were adrenaline, you had, you know, all of that going on, the excitement of being in the tournament and the long day. And now you also have somebody who had he ever been on the bag before? Or was that the first time?
First time for me, first time he's ever been on the bag for me. He caddied for a few other guys before, but.
Yeah. So what was that like, you know, trying to figure out the adjustment of having a new caddy and just the, you know, what you're used to, you know, with Tillis by your side and now. You know, you don't have that either.
Yeah. So to your point, you hit it that it was an added variable. It was an added something I'm not used to. And I don't do well, like going into a room of people I don't know outside of my element. I don't do well because I'm not used to it. I'm not used to the people. I don't know who they are. I don't know what's going on. It's the same thing for me just in life. So that's just another added thing. Like I'd never been in the situation of waiting to see if I get in the event. I just basically have to go off of assumption of how do I handle the day. And then you throw in the caddy. Like you said, even though I've known this guy for a couple of years, he's never caddied for me. And I've never been in the same group with him while he's caddied. So, you know, there's that added variable of, well, okay, does he even know what he's doing, you know, with this? Like if I'm starting to care more about him and what's going on with that than what I'm doing. And, but he ended up being great. He was great. Great caddy for the couple of days. And it was nice. He was available to step in, and help out. But yeah, you know, it wasn't the familiarity and, it wasn't the same as obviously as having Tillis on the bag and, as much as I wish that would have happened.
Yeah. And you know, I can only imagine you're thinking to yourself, is this guy going to talk too much? Is he not going to talk at all? Does he know how to do math? You know, what are the things I may have to overcome in the day, but, no, it looked like you did a good job. And it was good that you only had to play 9 holes that day. You got a chance to rest and come out and play. And, you know, after actually, I mean, you bogeyed 4 out of the first 5. So you were 4 over after 5 and you finished the tournament 4 over. So, you know, those last, you know, 31 holes, you played even par and that would have been good enough to make the cut and get in. So you played really well on Friday and after those first 4 bogeys. And so it's unfortunate that it came at a price of missing a cup, but certainly learned a lot and, is definitely going to make you better moving forward. So let's switch our focus to this week. So you got the RSM Classic, a really great tournament, on tour, been around for a long time. Talk a little bit about what you're looking forward to this week with the course and the setup and who's playing and just about the tournament in general. Is it a larger field?
It is. So we're playing 2 courses. They have 2 beautiful courses, at Sea Island, at the resort, the Seaside and the Plantation course. Living just an hour and a half south of here, I've gotten to play them a few times and played in some other kind of tournaments up here. It's a special place. It's got a lot of history, you know, the clubhouse, the locker rooms, amazing, you know, the old oak looking, you know, locker room and just the, you know, the history there. And I'm sure the people that have been in that locker room, it's pretty special. The golf courses themselves are wonderful. You got a lot of holes. You have some holes on Seaside that are on the water. Plantation, you've got some holes where, you see the water, you're not exactly on it. There's a couple that you are, but, I'm looking forward to that. It's fun golf. It's beautiful. The golf course conditions are great. The grass is real tight. You know, they've got some overseed going on in the fairways and around, that's grown in really well. They've kept some tight Bermuda around some of the green and it's just a treat and a joy to play it. So that's honestly what I've been looking forward to.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And it looks like, you know, winning score the last several years has been right around, you know, 20 under par. I think, in fact, the last 3 years has been 19 under par each year, you know, so, it sounds like it's a great course that you guys are going to enjoy. A lot of birdies, which will be great for the fans as well. And, a great opportunity to get on the board with First Cut and, move up, because the reshuffle is coming up. What is it, after this event? Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. So our category will reshuffle. But then the 50 guys that have our category.
Do you feel like that helps you focus a little bit more historically, like when your back's against the wall a little bit, or do you feel like it's a distraction? How have you approached that in the past? Because you've had situations where you've really needed to play well. I remember when you got back on the Korn Ferry Tour, you only had 4 starts and you won the second one, I believe. So there was a lot of pressure there and you performed well. What does that do for you when there's a little added pressure?
I think it takes the focus off some other things, all the extras. You only have one goal. And the reality of it is I'd like to think at the end of this week I'm going to have come out with a pretty good outcome. There's some things obviously I can't control, but if I don't play well this week, it's going to be hard to get into a lot of really good tournaments next, on the next calendar year, on 2022. So it's either, go play in those or sit at home and watch them on TV, based upon how I play. So it's a situation that, I can only focus on the golf. Like, that's the only thing I can. And sometimes that helps me, it helps me get locked in like that. And I really hope that's the case this week. I feel that way. I feel like everything's locked in. I feel like, the mental game took a big step forward last week after the first 9, took a lot of inventory there, to try to improve that, and saw some fruit, a lot of fruits of that, just, day one of it, of taking notice of it, on that Friday when I played 27 holes. I'm just really looking forward to it this week. I'm a coach here. Tillis is obviously back on the bag, and, wife and daughter will be here, and some family and friends, and it should just be a very, very good week.
Yeah, no, it's really exciting. You're definitely playing well. You had some great up and downs. I mean, you made par from places I couldn't even imagine trying to make par from. You did that, made some putts, and you hit some bombs last week, which was fun to see. In fact, I'm constantly thinking back to that T-ball in 18 where you walked past and you're like, hey, watch this. And I love that, like when you have a little challenge like that, because you striped it 30 yards past your opponents, had a wedge into the green, and certainly hitting the ball, really well. So very exciting. Let's transition real quick as we close this one out. This is obviously the last tournament before Thanksgiving and a little break. Mm-hmm. What's Thanksgiving like in the Wolfpack?
It is not a turkey filled Thanksgiving for us. Kelsey is really? Not, wife is not a turkey fan. I love turkey. I love all things turkey. Turkey is wonderful, except for turkey bacon. Not a huge fan.
Turkey bacon isn't even like bacon. It's not even real.
It's not even bacon. It's not turkey bacon. Shaped. It's turkey bacon shaped. But anyway,
so deceitful.
Whatever.
It's terrible. Anyways,
it's horrible. It's like vegan cheese. but the don't cancel culture me out there, vegans. Much love. I did it for a couple months, so you're my peoples too. But anyway, we've got some family in Tallahassee. We're going to go hang out with them most likely and see that part of the family a little bit. I think we're gonna have a Friendsgiving. We got, where mm-hmm. I'm at, where I'm Excellent. At down in Jacksonville's got a lot of other golfers that are married now, and not going home to see their families, maybe, or maybe they are, but we're going to come back and we're all going to have a Friendsgiving. We're all just going to bring, random potluck type style things and just have fun that way. But we're going to celebrate.
I'll tell you what,
we're going to have a good time.
Friendsgiving is way underrated. For people who've never celebrated a Friendsgiving, I mean, it's like Thanksgiving, but it's with your friends. I mean, it's like, there's no awkward conversation. There's no weird uncle that's going to be showing up. I mean, it's just your friends. So like, I mm-hmm. highly recommend Friendsgiving, not in place of Thanksgiving, still do Thanksgiving, but definitely add that to your weekend festivities on Friday or Saturday night for sure. So last question. Okay. So there's no turkey at your thing, at the Wolfpack Thanksgiving, but what is there? Like, you gotta have a meat that replaces turkey, I'm assuming. And there's gotta be some fixings as well. So what's going to be on the table?
This is going to be disappointing. And this is not the way
you guys have sushi.
Up.
What do you, what do you guys do?
Well, no, there's never a bad day for sushi.
That's true. We know that.
I grew up in a home where we did the fixings. We did all of it. Did the turkey. We did all of it. But moving forward,
I'm nervous for what's coming here. Oh, gosh.
We've had pizza on Thanksgiving. so
homemade or delivery?
Probably both. A little bit of both. But I'll tell you, when we go, we have not really had a Thanksgiving in our house by ourselves yet. But when we go and see, we're going to go see part of Kelsey's family in Tallahassee, and they do an awesome job of doing the whole turkey, all the fixings, all the sides, everything. And I love it because I create the Thanksgiving sandwich. I take mm-hmm. the roll, take mm-hmm. the dinner roll. We take the turkey, take the mashed potatoes.
Yep. Uh-huh.
We take the cranberry sauce and we take the Ooh. Stuffing and it all yep. goes in there together and you dip it in the sweet potato pie that, or whatever the sweet potato
Holy
bake or whatever
moly.
It is. And I'm telling you, it's everything God created good in this world in one bite. It is so good.
The sweet potato pie threw me off because I was thinking, or sweet potato, whatever, you know, I was thinking you're going to go gravy. Like, you know, you put a little gravy on top, like mayonnaise or ketchup or mustard,
you
know, like
on
a burger.
Yeah, you put just the gravy inside.
Yeah. But that sweet potato getting the sweet with maybe a little marshmallow in there. Oh my goodness.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mixed with all the salty and all that. And some people have corn. I'm, put the corn on there, but whatever you got on the table, you put it in there. I have not tried it with the Waldorf salad. I've never done that. Like that pistachio, whatever thing. Never done that. But, you know, everybody's got their thing.
It's the Thanksgiving sandwich. We got to recap this. So it's the bun or the roll, the dinner roll.
Yep.
Yeah. With a little turkey, mashed potatoes, cranberry sauce, the dressing, the stuffing, and then yep. dip it in the sweet potatoes with a little marshmallow. Oh man, that's,
yeah. Mm. Oh, am I missing it? Typically, well, there's sometimes I got green beans, but yeah, you don't want to put those on there.
You know, we should start something on Twitter called Thanksgiving Sandwich and see, or something like this, and see like if other people do it, take a picture of it and give us a review. So that may be a thing we have to do with this. Is
let's do that. Let's please.
What's your Thanksgiving sandwich or something? Yeah, we'll have to do that for sure. Awesome, man. Well, hey, listen, let's not get ahead of ourselves, man. Have a wonderful week and Sea Island this week. We're going to be watching. Hopefully, they'll get just some shots on TV. But more than that, just have a great time. Have a lot of fun. See the ball go in the hole. Have a lot of birdies on the card. And we'll look forward to talking to you again soon, man.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks, Trey.
All right, buddy. Talk soon. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Full Send Podcast, an inside look at Jared Wolf's journey on the PGA Tour. If you enjoy this episode, be sure to give us a like and leave a comment. That will help others find us easier. And until next time, hit them long and hit them straight. We'll see you soon.